Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With your look at traffic, I'm Joe Cardosi.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Dave Cohen on WWL AM, FM, and .com.
10 minutes after 7 a.m. in for Tommy Tucker on this Tuesday morning. Glad to be with you here on WWL. Joe, when was the last time you had a corn dog?
Years.
Really? Yeah. All right. Ian, you had a corn dog lately?
No, it's been years as well, probably before the pandemic.
Yeah, when I had kids in the house, they're all grown and moved out now, we always kept a box of corn dogs in the freezer because it was something quick and easy if the kids wanted a snack. But I don't think we've bought a box in a while, so I don't have to worry about this. But a lot of people do. Jimmy Dean and State Fair are recalling 58 million pounds of corn dogs, saying that the batter contains tiny pieces of wood accidentally.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, you don't want that. The products were made between March 17th and this past Friday. So apparently they've been putting wood in the corn dogs for months now, and they've just now discovered this has happened.
Yeah, I wouldn't have noticed when I was eating corn dogs. I mean, I was always so drunk if I ate a corn dog. Could be wood, rocks,
well,
glass.
They're not supposed to be crunchy, and they say you should either return or throw out your corn dogs if you've got Jimmy Dean or State Fair corn dogs. They say it's a preventative recall, although complaints have already been filed, and 5 injuries have been reported from people ingesting pieces of wood.
Like what? They got splinters in their gums or something?
I don't want to swallow a piece of wood. Yeah. That would hurt. So if your corn dog is unexpectedly crunchy, this says, you should toss it in the trash or return it to the store. So there you go. No wood in your corn dogs.
Did eat 58 million pounds of corn dogs when I did eat them, though.
Yeah.
So I made it up.
Mustard? Ketchup, mayonnaise?
Oh, no. I'm a mustard guy. Yeah.
You got to have mustard on a corn dog. But if you mix a little mustard and mayonnaise together sometimes,
I'll do that on a
feeling really wild, barbecue sauce on my corn dog.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'll drink to that.
So now I want to go get a corn dog. Well, I guess if we don't get Jimmy Dean or State Fair, we can still buy a corn dog. So there you go. All right. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Joe. I'm Dave Cohen. So we heard last half hour that the biggest problem that Louisiana small businesses are having right now is finding qualified employees to hire. Well, there are 6 mega projects that are supposed to create 20,000 construction jobs and then create even more jobs in Louisiana between now and 2030. How are they going to find all the people to fill those jobs if the already existing companies can't find them? We'll find out from the CEO for the Committee for 100, Adam Knapp.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
After this. In for Tommy Tucker on this Tuesday morning, Leah Long, the director of the Louisiana chapter of the National Federation of Independent Business, told us last half hour that the biggest problem small businesses are having in Louisiana is finding people they want to hire, getting qualified applicants, and getting people to accept job offers. That staffing is the biggest problem for small business now, which intrigues me, particularly when we turn to our next topic, which is six mega projects that are coming to Louisiana to provide huge numbers of new jobs. Adam Knapp, CEO of the Committee for 100, joins us, and Leaders for a Better Louisiana. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Glad that you're here. So let me start with that. Obviously, we always want to create more jobs. We want to grow business. Economic development is a big goal of nearly every government at every level across the state and around the country. How do you do that if you don't have enough workers to fill the jobs you currently have open?
So this is a great question. So this, the purpose of putting out this little report that we did was to just illustrate how much activity is happening at just six locations across the state. And the obvious next question is what you asked is, what do we do to make sure we can keep up with this? The last time we had a huge wave of investment was a period from 2012 to 2018. And during that period, we saw the state's community colleges, as one example, really step up and coordinate construction and craft skill training for industry construction needs in a big way. And we see that happening again to try to match what is happening in terms of overall construction activity that's facing this state.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, because before we even talk about filling the jobs that these six huge development projects will provide, they have to be built. Buildings, infrastructure, everything else has to be constructed. And by your report's estimate, it's some 20,000 construction jobs that are being created. So yeah, the first thing you got to worry about is making sure that the trade schools, the technical schools, the junior colleges, and drawing people in from other states and other places is possible so that you can get these projects built, right?
And that's you just said it right there. I think the most exciting piece of analysis, in addition to the review of the projects themselves that we did in this report, was to look at that wave of construction back in 2012. We had 30,000 back then, 30,000 new jobs that were created in that period of time. And in-migration into Louisiana really helped in a big way. We grew by 60,000 total people in population as a state during that period when the state was adding construction jobs like crazy. And so I think what we think is interesting is if this happens again, not only do the schools have to step up to make sure that Louisianans, you know, have the ability to retrain or get access to these jobs, but it's also that we'll see a lot more people moving in to help build these facilities.
Is that harder now with the current atmosphere surrounding migration? We know that after Katrina, we know that in 2012, that we saw increases in non-Americans with work visas coming in to fill many of these construction jobs and rebuild after Katrina and accelerate growth after 2012. Is that a challenge that we face this time around now with the concerns and the crackdown on migration?
Well, it's hard to know. In industrial construction, you know, a lot of the folks are coming in with a lot of licenses and specific safety training, and a lot of that happens across the Gulf Coast. So it's hard to know how much immigration is going to affect that. But this being something that happened before, and what we see is this crowd of workers do tend to move pretty readily. So it's hard to know that it'll be negatively impacted until we kind of work through it. But all the more important that the schools get ready to do everything they can to train.
We're talking with Adam Knapp. When we come back, we'll go over these six mega projects that are supposed to provide all these construction and then permanent jobs across Louisiana. Now we're checking on WWL traffic. Adam Knapp is our guest, CEO of the Committee for 100 with the Leaders for a Better Louisiana. Adam, you talked about these six mega projects that are going to be providing this construction and then job boom in Louisiana. What are they?
So many have heard of the big Meta data center that's being built near Monroe. This is really what sparked our interest in this report is how unique it is to have projects of the scale we're talking about that are happening both in North Louisiana and across the I-10 corridor of South Louisiana. So the big Meta AI data center and Entergy's large power supply that they're building to support the Meta data center over near Lake Charles in Southwest Louisiana, Woodside LNG is building a large LNG facility along with Venture Global, building a what's called CP2, their Cameron Parish LNG facility. So you've got two huge LNG facilities that just got under construction over there. And then in the Capital Region, CF Industries in Ascension Parish and the River Region, and Hyundai Steel building a large steel manufacturing facility over the next few years. It's just uncommon to have this scale of six projects happening, which is what we really wanted to look at. So it just those six sites, 25% of the state's total industrial construction workforce is going to be building these facilities. We have about 85,000 folks in Louisiana that work in industrial construction. About a quarter of those will be just at these six sites at their peak in a couple of years.
Is this biting off more than the construction industry can chew?
So it doesn't look like it. I think that was what we were really interested to understand. And from what we've seen in the numbers from the last big wave of construction, the state surges up in construction workforce when this happens. And that's what we're expecting to happen again. As we talked about before the break, we also expect to see the state's community colleges. You know, Delgado and Nunez do a great job of this. So does Bossier Parish Community College, you know, and then over in Southwest Louisiana, you got a school called Sowella, Southwest Louisiana. These schools have done this before. They've surged up to meet industrial construction. They need to make sure that they're working in very tight coordination. But that's what's happened in the past. You see this combination of training met with a lot of in-migration. And then the other interesting thing is since the last big wave, LSU has scaled up one of its largest programs in their engineering colleges, construction management. And they've actually doubled the number of graduates that are coming out of that program.
And that's actually through the College of Engineering, right?
It is. It's a very specialized program, one of the best in the country at doing this. And they've gotten much, much larger since the last big wave of construction.
So we talked about 20,000 construction jobs in building these things between now and 2030, but how many permanent jobs are we talking about through the data center, the LNG facilities, the steel plant, all six of these projects combined? How many jobs will they create, do you anticipate, that will stay in Louisiana and most of these very high-paying jobs?
So we didn't put together a number just on the permanent jobs. This was really a look at the construction workforce. We'd probably estimate that number is going to be somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 permanent jobs that are going to be settled across the state when this is done. But we did not try to focus on that one aspect of that in this report. Folks who want to dig into it can find it on our website, which is betterla.org. A lot of information about the projects, and they can go dig into more about what's each specific project's scaling going to look like.
BetterLA.org. Anything else that you found that you want to share with our listeners as you look into what's expected to be a construction boom across Louisiana, everywhere it seems except for Southeast Louisiana?
Well, we see a ton of activity in Southeast Louisiana already. That's why we wanted to make sure that this is really not a total look at all economic development. There's a lot that's been happening in the New Orleans metro area and kind of Southeast Louisiana already, and exciting announcements coming out from folks like GNO Inc. We watched the whole scale of activity. The only other thing I would say is Monroe and the Lake Charles area have a much larger surge of activity overall during this period.
Adam, we appreciate that. If you want to read the full report, go to betterla.org. Adam, thanks for joining us and sharing this information with us, and we hope that it means better economic times across the state. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Adam Knapp with the Committee for 100. I'm Dave Cohen. What's going on with homelessness? I have seen more people begging along my commute heading home, not so much heading into work because I come in before 4 a.m., but heading home. So what's going on with homelessness in our community? We'll get an update after the news.
With your look at traffic, I'm Joe Cardosi.
Thank you, Joe. I'm Ian Ozan, WWL First News. Now back to Dave Cohen on WWL AMFMN.com.
In for Tommy Tucker at 39 minutes after 7 a.m. on this last day of September, the 30th of September, 2025. So the Social Security Administration now says you either have to have direct deposit or we'll send you a debit card loaded with your Social Security payments. One of those things that makes you go, really? They were still sending out paper checks in this day and age?
I believe that because you have certain people of a certain age who are on Social Security, namely your last remaining baby boomers and some World War II era folks who are getting paper checks because they didn't know direct deposit existed.
Or they don't trust banks, or they don't like direct deposit, or they'd rather just get that check in their hand. It's kind of like, well, when was the last time, Joe? When was the last time you got a check for something?
I remember being confused the last time someone handed it to me like it was a prank. several years ago, I believe.
Yeah, last time I had to write a check, I actually had to stop and think through the process because I hadn't done it in years. And someone not long ago told me they accidentally signed on the memo line instead of the signature line because they had to write a check for the first time in a long time. So, yeah, checks becoming quickly a thing of the past. But I can't imagine this is creating some anxiety and heartache for some Social Security recipients now that they know they're not going to get an actual check. But the money will still be in their account.
I don't remember if my grandmother ever got direct deposits set up. I think she still gets a paper check. So I need to check in on her today just to make sure that she's got her ducks in a row.
My mom would have been one of those people, too. She had a tinfoil helmet and everything. She definitely wouldn't have trusted
check in on your grandparents. Make sure they're not freaking out that they're not getting an actual paper check. Yeah, today, the Social Security Administration going through with an earlier announced plan to stop writing paper checks for Social Security payments, instead preferring direct deposit, which will save them millions of dollars doing direct deposit instead of sending out checks, especially with, you know, the cost of postage now. I mean, a stamp. Hey, Joe, you have any idea what a stamp costs now?
If it's not 25 cents, I'm way out of the loop.
Ian, any guess?
We're up to 73 cents now, aren't we?
No, 78 cents.
78?
What? Yeah, earlier this year, a first-class stamp. Now, obviously, they have bulk mail and all that, but a stamp is now 78 cents.
Yeah, it didn't go over.
No, but it's gonna be, not long it's going to be a dollar to send a letter, so if anyone's still sending letters. It's kind of crazy, though. There are other examples where old technology is still in use. I had a loved one recently have to get some medical records transferred, and the doctor's office said that it had to be done by fax.
Yeah, because
and they had to fax over page after page after page of medical records, and pharmacies still require faxes from doctor's offices.
Because fear of emails getting hacked, that's the only legal way they can do it is by fax.
Well, the government's found ways to do secure emails and file transfers and other things. You'd think that pharmacies and doctor's offices could, too. Privacy, a big concern, I know. Thank you, Ian. Thank you, Joe. I'm Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. Have you seen more people begging lately? I sure have. Panhandlers everywhere. Does that mean the homeless population is growing? We'll find out after this. 7:45, Dave Cohen in for Tommy Tucker. I drove from downtown New Orleans to downtown Baton Rouge a few days ago and counted at least 10 panhandlers combined just getting on the expressway here in the CBD and then getting off the interstate in Baton Rouge. And I haven't seen that many people begging for money at intersections in a long time. Then I was on St. Charles Avenue the other day and saw six panhandlers within two blocks just on St. Charles Avenue in the Lower Garden District. Is homelessness on the rise after progress in reducing the number of people who didn't have anywhere to live? Martha Cagle joins us now, Executive Director of Unity of Greater New Orleans. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are we doing in the efforts to house those who don't have homes after the big efforts that we saw in recent years, then the huge push before the Super Bowl and the Taylor Swift concert? What are the numbers looking like now, and why are we seeing more panhandlers?
Well, let me say at the outset that panhandling and homelessness are not the same thing. So they're actually, a minority of the people who are panhandling are actually homeless. Even if they have signs saying such, that's what we have consistently found. But there are a lot of poor people. We do have a very high poverty rate in our city. We have always had a very high poverty rate. And the gap between housing costs and you know, what people can earn or what people get on disability benefits is, you know, increasing that gap. So
that's an interesting point. People. So you're saying that even though people say homeless and hungry or have signs saying something to that effect, many of the people who are panhandling actually do have a place to live?
Yes. Yes. And we consistently find that to be the case. You see people with those signs out where there are going to be a lot of commuters at, you know, rush hour times. But when our team goes out at night, they are not there and they can't be found anywhere. So it's not to say that they're not poor people and they're not in need, but they are not necessarily homeless. But nonetheless, homelessness is increasing in the city. Fortunately, it's going down on the street, and that is the worst kind of homelessness. That is the most dangerous kind of homelessness in terms of your likelihood to die from being exposed to the elements and never being able to get a decent night's sleep. But the number of people in homeless shelters is going up. The number of people on the street has gone down significantly because of the efforts that have been made by the city, by the state, by the nonprofit coalition, by the federal government, the business community, everybody working together. A 24% decrease is a very significant decrease in the last 2 years. But it's also at the same time a little bit disappointing because so much effort has gone into housing people from the street. We've housed, you know, over 700 people from the street in the last year and a half. And we would have thought we would have seen even more progress. The problem is that for every five people that we house, four new people show up on the street. And by new people, they're people, they're our neighbors. They're New Orleanians for the most part, but they are in poverty, struggling, churning in and out of homelessness. The rents are way too high for what people can afford. Our minimum wage is still $7.25 an hour. There's a lot of people who make that much money, or $8 an hour. That's a very common wage in our city. And yet the one-bedroom fair market rent right now is $1,236 a month. How in the world are you going to be able to pay for that with minimum wage or even $15 an hour?
We're talking with Martha Cagle at Unity of Greater New Orleans. When we come back, I want to know if we're seeing populations growing at homeless shelters and decreasing of people living on the street and in tent encampments and things like that, where's the money coming from to clothe and house and feed and train these people, plus get them job assistance and addiction assistance if needed, mental health assistance if needed? Is there enough money to handle this surge that the shelters are seeing? We'll find out from Martha Cagle after we check on WWL traffic. Martha Cagle with Unity of Greater New Orleans was telling us that they are seeing more and more people in homeless shelters. While they've had some success in getting people off the streets, but for every five people that they put in a home in permanent housing, they get four more people who join the ranks of the homeless. Martha, is there enough funding right now for these shelters that are taking on larger and larger numbers of people who need their help?
No, there's not enough money for this. I mean, one of the things that people usually don't understand is that rental assistance for very poor people, including people with disabilities, including the elderly, is not an entitlement like food stamps are. So only about one of every three or four people who are in need of rental assistance actually gets it, which is the primary cause of the homeless problem. Of course, the people who end up being most vulnerable to homelessness are the disabled. And we find that the vast majority of people who are homeless do have both physical and mental disabilities. There's also people who are homeless just because they're extremely poor. Young mothers are very vulnerable to homelessness. We find that a lot of young mothers are and their children are experiencing homelessness. Family homelessness has gone up 13% in the last year. Children, you know, the experience for them of being homeless has, you know, really a permanent effect on them, not just psychologically, but even some studies show on their IQ. So it is it's a very, you know, grave threat. And we are looking at terrible federal budget cuts for housing, for what housing assistance does exist. You know, it's very frightening to contemplate how much worse things could get if those budget cuts go into effect.
What is the easiest thing folks can do if they want to help in this effort that you're leading to reduce homelessness?
You know, we work really hard to try to get as many competitive federal grants as we can get to pay for rental assistance and case management services. But our member organizations have to provide 25% match, as does Unity. So giving a contribution directly to Unity or one of our member organizations that are listed on our website, unitygno.org, is a really helpful thing to do. Another thing that anyone can do is go to your kitchen cupboard, go to your linen closet, and find some gently used pots and pans, dishes, sheets, bedding, and donate that to our warehouse. The warehouse number is 504-483-9300, 483-9300.
Thank you, Martha. We appreciate everything you do in what is obviously a very difficult fight that you are trying to lead to reduce homelessness in our city. Martha Cagle with Unity New Orleans. When we come back, another mass shooting in the French Quarter. Four people shot, one dead. What's going on?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.